This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix cameras, cameras for today's photographer. All right, special treat for you guys. I'm sitting here with the CEO of a company called Photo Shelter. You may have heard of them, Andrew Fingerman. He and I are going to discuss a bunch of topics. We're going to dive into the company itself and the inception of it, how it's going, all that stuff, and how he's positioning the company in the sort of ecosystem of other photo sharing companies out there. And then we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to, I know, a lot of the This Week in Photo listeners' hearts, and that's money, you know, and is the profession of photography still viable in 2013 and beyond? So, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frederick. How are you?
I'm doing great. So let's jump right in. So you run the company, you run the show over at Photo Shelter. Where are you guys? You're in New York City?
Yep, we're based in New York City in Union Square. We have got a great office overlooking the Green Market in Union Square. So Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we've got fresh veggies and all kinds of local produce outside.
Wow, that's cool. That's a choice spot. Very different from California.
Well, I'm sure you get your live and local as well.
So day in the life of a CEO. Well, first of all, let's how did you become CEO of Photo Shelter? What was your sort of path of ascension there?
Sure. To tell that story, I'll start with the company's history itself. Photo Shelter was founded in 2005 mm-hmm. by a team of engineers. So they were actually the engineers that used to, they were the people that were first started the company hotjobs.com. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You may remember them from the original .com.
I remember hotjobs, yeah.
Job site. And their friends, who were a group of professional photographers. And the fun thing about the company's history was that they came up with this online archive that was essentially, you know, a way to back up your photos on a database online and have access to them no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. This was essentially the cloud before anybody was calling the cloud the cloud.
Before it got the label.
Yeah, before the cloud was cool.
Yeah.
Initially, Photo Shelter started strictly as an online archive for your photos. Mm-hmm. You upload your photos to Photo Shelter. They become accessible to you and your clients no matter where you are in the field, no matter when your clients need them. So everything from the get-go was built in using technology to make photographers' lives easier.
Sure.
So they upload with the metadata, so everything is searchable and has, you know, the ability to be organized online. But then over time, we built more and more tools on top of Photo Shelter in response to the pro photographer community's needs. So the display capabilities evolved from just a Photo Shelter page to a customizable website. We added in sales capabilities, so you can either license stock photography or sell prints and products in an automated fashion. Yeah. We built a host of marketing tools in. But the secret sauce has always been the delivery tools inside of Photo Shelter. So anytime you need to get an image from point A to point B, having it on Photo Shelter makes a ton of sense, because you can do stuff like, you know, send your client a password protected gallery download link where they can download the high res image. You can FTP from inside of Photo Shelter. We have something called a quick send, which is like a one-time use download link.
So that the link expires after a certain amount of time?
Exactly. So you can be certain that it's not going to get passed on within an organization and used multiple times.
That's cool. Yeah.
We have something called trusted client downloads, where the clients that you're working with on a regular basis can access your archive and pull images out, essentially making their lives easier.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the type of situation where you'd be invoicing them, you know, on a very regular trusted basis.
So from what you're saying, what I'm hearing, and the sort of direction I'm hearing these features, or the features in Photo Shelter, it sounds like it's definitely targeted at the pro making money photographer that has clients, right?
Absolutely. To have clients.
Is there a tendency to lean towards wedding photographers, or is it commercial, or?
Currently we have 80,000 photographers using Photo Shelter.
Okay.
I would say that over 90% of them identify themselves either as a pro, a part-time pro, a full-time pro, or an aspiring professional. Okay. So it definitely has a pro bent, but we're pretty specialty agnostic. So we have hundreds upon hundreds of photojournalists who are in the field using Photo Shelter in a certain way mm-hmm. for their upload and delivery to clients. We have stock photographers who are using the online searchable archive and automated licensing capabilities to license their work independently of agencies. Yeah. We have nature photographers who just like to display their work and sell fine art prints. We have wedding photographers who use it as a proofing tool with their clients and sell prints to grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, no, lovely.
So it's really specialty agnostic.
So it's the engine that powers a photographer without any specific guidance on what kind of photography you guys are supporting.
Exactly. We like to think of Photo Shelter as a tool for helping you get business, do business, and keep business.
Yeah.
The keep business part is interesting. We'd probably delve into it later because I promised I'd tell you about the history.
Yes.
But the keep business part is like, how do you use technology to make your clients happy?
How do you surprise and delight customers, right?
Exactly.
Get back to the history.
So we had a team of tech guys and a team of professional photographers who came together, and the evolution of the company was such that they just kept making the product better and better for their friends, really.
Yeah.
And that responsiveness helped us grow. I would say, for the first several years of the company's existence, word of mouth was the number one source that people would cite as how they found out about Photo Shelter and how they came to know Photo Shelter would be something for them.
Yeah.
I joined the company in January of 2008 as the head of marketing. And so if you think about it, this is a lot of tech companies have this trajectory where initially the product sells itself.
Right.
And you have, it's a very engineering-driven culture. Yeah. And they were, getting to a point in the company's development where they said, okay, now we need marketing to continue driving the growth of this company. Yeah. So my job was to bring a more formal, almost marketing maturity to the company. And that's really on a couple different angles. One is how do we get new customers, but also it's how do we engage the existing customer base to make sure that people are taking advantage of all the different tools that we're adding into the product and staying highly engaged.
Yeah.
So I actually ran marketing for 5 years, and last April I came on board as CEO. Alan Murabayashi, who was the CEO and co-founder of the company, he stepped into the chairman role. We still have Alan very, very involved. We're sending him, I'm sure he's not going to complain about it, all over the world.
Nice.
He's meeting with our customers in various cities. We just had a bunch of happy hours in Asia that he ran. And he does a lot of speaking for us, and we meet very regularly for strategy, but I'm now responsible for the day-to-day management and growth of the company.
That's cool. So speaking of that, the day-to-day management piece of it, I'm going to segue this into just sort of the landscape of the image sharing or photo sharing services out there, right?
Sure.
So, it's a crowded landscape from a photographer standpoint, which makes it hard to choose. So people don't know, should I be, I'm a wedding photographer, should I just pick Pictage? Or should I go with SmugMug, or should I use Zenfolio, or should I just build a WordPress site, do it myself, or now I can do something on 500 pics? There's all these places where photographers can share your images, but from my standpoint, photographers should pick a horse and ride it. You're not going to be on all these different places. So how, as the CEO, how do you position Photo Shelter in that group of competitors? And of the ones I mentioned, maybe they're not all competitors, in your eyes.
And I'll be totally candid, because I think that there's elements of our service that overlap really significantly with a SmugMug or a Zenfolio. Mm-hmm. And there's elements of our service that we significantly differentiate ourselves from a SmugMug and a Zenfolio,
yeah,
of those that you mentioned. Likewise, I think, if you just look, if you go to photoshelter.com and you look at our website and you say, okay, what are these guys selling? What am I going to get here? The first thing that hits you is I can get a portfolio website, mm-hmm, right? And any photographer that's looking to display their work online will tell you, I can get a portfolio website anywhere these days,
yeah,
right? So You know, I can build something for free. I can do something through WordPress. I can get one. I can spend $4,000 through a high-end website company or a custom development company. But so what do I get that's different via Photo Shelter? And likewise, if I'm just somebody that wants to share my photos with my either my fans or my audience or my clients, what do I get that's different from Photo Shelter? Yeah. So from day one, Photo Shelter has differentiated itself as a professional's solution. And you know, like I described in the early days when they built in the features and functionality that were, you know, designed for their friends, mm-hmm. They really went overboard in making sure that it was a tool that you could fit into your unique workflow. Yeah. And you know, if there's anything I've learned in the, you know, almost 7 years I've been with this, six years I've been with this company now, mm-hmm. is you don't go to a photographer and tell them they need to change their workflow, right?
Right, yeah, don't whack
the dog. Don't mess with the workflow.
Yeah, right. when you say the Photo Shelter is designed specifically for the photographer or the professional photographer, what does that mean? Like, how do you differentiate a professional photographer from the dentist who shoots on the weekend is not a professional photographer but is a highly competent shooter and has the same kind of needs as the pro? Is there a line between those?
Yeah. So I think those lines are certainly blurring, and I have a feeling we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But for a professional photographer, if we want to be the professional photographer's online image archive, here's what we need to do. We need to accept a variety of different file formats, not just JPEG. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the other services out there strictly enable you to upload JPEG. So we, you know, while they might tell you you can have unlimited storage, the file sizes are limited and the file formats are limited. Photo Shelter, you can upload everything from RAW to TIFF to JPEG to PSDs.
That's actually on my list to ask you, by
right.
the way.
So that's one big advantage. If we're calling this an archive for your photos, it has to be your archive. You have to be able to upload the original quality photo, make sure that can be accessible to you and your clients.
Yeah. So I can paint a use case picture. I have a library of, say, a terabyte of raw photos from the last year or so. I can sign up for Photo Shelter and I can put all of those raw
exactly.
files.
Our pro account actually comes with a terabyte of storage, and you can do all raw if you'd like.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So then, you know, it goes from the, you know, the capability to the sort of robustness of the tool itself. Mm-hmm. So another good example is the depth of what we let you sell or enable you to sell. So with Photo Shelter, you can get set up to sell prints and products. We have four automated print vendors that are integrated with Photo Shelter, but we also have a print vendor network of over 200 printers throughout the world who you can simply send files to through Photo Shelter. And so the integrated print vendors have all the pricing built into Photo Shelter, all the deliveries built into Photo Shelter. The print vendor network, which is the additional 200, is simply like you send the file with all the specs and you work out the shipping and delivery on the side.
Separately.
But it's designed to make your life easier as a professional. We let you sell stock photography through Photo Shelter, and we're the only provider out there that has a built-in rights-managed pricing calculator. So you can sell rights-managed photos, much like you would find at a Getty Images, and you know, your customer would go and price out the usage, and then it spits out a price, and they could pay with their credit card. But you could also, if you're more into royalty-free, you can adjust your sales to sell royalty-free as well.
Yeah.
So it's really sort of the depth and breadth of your sales options and how we give you the flexibility to customize it around your own way. The other thing with Photo Shelter is you can actually set it up to you are the merchant of sale. So there's a lot of services out there where you're sitting around waiting for a check. Mm-hmm. You have to hit a certain threshold of sales before they'll cut you a check. The sale actually happens between you and your client. So you can integrate a PayPal account or Stripe, which is a PayPal alternative, which we're very, very fond of.
Yeah, I'm fond of Stripe as well. Stripe is really
great,
cool.
And it integrates really sweetly with the Photo Shelter websites. You can set up a merchant account directly via authorized.net. So again, it's like that level of options that lets you customize Photo Shelter around your own professional workflow.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on.
That's great. Yeah. So we drew those lines between the amateur and the pro and those guys and how those worlds differ. One question I wanted to throw in there is just we've got services out there. You know, I mentioned the other photo sharing services, but in addition to those, there's folks like Dropbox,
yep,
where people can upload their photos to Dropbox and then copy that link, and I can share those with a small group of people or a large group of people. Do you see the Dropbox people as a competitor, or is that a completely different business?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually do see competition from Dropbox. Mm-hmm. I think for a photographer to be using Dropbox, they're saying, here's an easy way for me to get my photos from me to you,
yes,
right? And so that's what I'm telling you should be using Photo Shelter for. The reason I think Photo Shelter is a better option than a Dropbox is because it's happening in your professional branded environment when you're sending photos via Photo Shelter to a client. So if I send you a link to my Dropbox account, you're basically downloading from Dropbox, right? It's a generic Dropbox experience. If I send you a link to download photos from your Photo Shelter account, it's essentially all happening within this branded journey that you want to create for your clients, right? So your logo is right there at the top of the page.
Right.
The rest of your portfolio is there so they can peruse your portfolio and continue the journey. And, I didn't realize that you had a personal project in the Maldives. I'm going to check that out because we need a travel photographer for this other project we're doing.
Nice. So the discovery.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
So with that, are you allowing the use of subdomains? So could I set up, say, images.frederickvan.com and have that go to my Photo Shelter account?
Yes, actually, you can. Okay. So you can, what you're saying is, can I mask the URL so
Correct.
It doesn't seem like, there are certain stops along the Photo Shelter journey that actually need to, the secure stuff still needs to read Photo Shelter, mm-hmm, but if you're sending out the URL, you can use archive.frederickvanjohnson.com or whatever you choose.
Perfect. That's really cool. See, all this stuff I didn't know. This is educational and powerful. So, okay, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about display or the front end. So we've seen this trend, or when I say we, I mean me. I've seen this trend of the mosaic-looking, tiled, infinitely scrolling portfolios that look gorgeous. We've seen it from 500 Pix, Flickr, Smug Mug's doing it now. That is kind of, it seems like that's the vogue in how photographer online portfolios are looking. And I'm looking at you guys at your site. I know you launched a new thing called Beam not too long ago.
Yep.
Can you talk about that a little bit and
how
that fits in?
Yeah, thanks. Beam, we're really proud of Beam. It's our brand new portfolio site platform. So what we were finding was, Photo Shelter has offered customizable websites since 2008. So we built the customizable website platform in 2008, and there were things that we wanted it to do now, or actually as of a year ago, that we saw the design sort of zeitgeist was moving in a certain direction.
Right.
Mobile was obviously a very significant need. The ability to integrate and display videos inside of your portfolio website alongside of your photographs. It was also a really important need, and also the connectivity of other services. So, can I display my Instagrams and my Tumblrs inside of my branded photographer, my branded photography portfolio? So we set about building an API, essentially. So that's an application programming interface. So think of old Photo Shelter, which is a very strong, very robust database for your images. And then this layer, which is our API, and then Beam, which is the new layer on top of Photo Shelter. Mm-hmm. So Beam is built in all the latest coding technology, highly mobile compatible, mm-hmm, very flexible, and what they call extensible. So it enables us the flexibility to innovate on top of Photo Shelter much faster and with more flexibility than we've ever had before. So Beam is really the first thing we're doing on top of this platform. Cool. So the portfolios, we started this just 2 months ago, actually. We have 4 portfolio templates. And just about a week and a half from now, we're going to be launching our 5th template. And it's very different and very exciting looking. It's really to flex the muscles to show people exactly how the extent of the capabilities and the breadth that Beam gives us to offer a unique photography portfolio website.
Very cool. So we're going to have, so depending on when this goes live, around what date and year will that be?
It'll be this year, September of this year. You'll see
September,
it's actually a storytelling-based template. So anybody that has a story to tell, you know, whether it be from start to finish or ongoing fashion, can set up these really cool galleries with text around the images as desired, and the images are big and beautiful. It's almost upsetting that I'm even talking about it right now because I should be showing it to you.
I want to see it.
But I'll tell you, we'll be able to share some graphics of the Beam sites. The intention of the Beam design was to comply with this new modern feel of big and beautiful and highly responsive sites.
Yeah.
So the image itself scales down to the mobile device and up to the 24-inch monitor that hopefully your buyers and clients are using.
Yeah.
And it's very elegant. The sites are very elegant. You can pull in your Instagram feed. You can pull in your Vimeo feed.
Oh, wow.
You can pull in your Tumblr or WordPress blog. And the cool part is you can actually add any additional amount of content through our custom web pages as well. So you're not just limited to displaying your photo galleries, but you can add additional pages with our HTML editor, really as deep as you want to go with it. So you can add tear sheets and rate cards and whatever your custom needs are to support your photography business.
What does the ideal photo shelter customer look like? And in that, let me frame that correctly. How is the ideal customer using the site? Are they using photo shelter as their primary web presence and aggregating their other social presences into photo shelter? Or are they using photo shelter as this is my portfolio over here and here's my WordPress over here? And, you know,
yeah, we think that the ideal customer will use Photo Shelter as a portfolio, will integrate their blog. We don't offer a blog service,
mm-hmm.
but so that's why we think, you know, weaving in your WordPress blog or your Tumblr blog makes a lot of sense. But you're not just using Photo Shelter for display purposes. If that's the case, you're probably only using, you know, 1/8 of the capability of the system. Yeah. So we want somebody that's going to be using Photo Shelter to share and, you know, help clients or their fans view and you know, attract new clients to their website. But we think that you really benefit by using the online archive to make sure your images are backed up and accessible online.
Yeah.
Using our delivery tools to send photos and make them accessible to your clients. Using our marketing tools to attract new business.
Yeah.
We've worked really hard on the search engine optimization of Photo Shelter websites, as well as the social integration to make sure that things are marketable. There's an address book inside of Photo Shelter, so you can send out image galleries to your clients. And it's really a very powerful tool. So the more you use the different facets of Photo Shelter to either grow a business or, you know, maintain business relationships and, you know, differentiate yourself as rock solid, reliable to your clients, that's when you're going to be able to justify continuing to use Photo Shelter. So, you know, if you're having success with it, you know, we think you're going to be with us for a really, really long time.
Well, let's talk about that business piece of it. And that's, you know, I want to close on that side of it. There seems to be the sentiment that the photographer is an endangered species, you know,
right.
Or rather the professional photographer, the amateur and advanced amateur photographer is an expanding, you know, growing group of people. But it seems like the professional photographer seems to be, that title seems to be, you know, more and more endangered. We see it with newspapers, like, you know, in Chicago, we saw them lay off their photography staff to replace them with reporters carrying iPhones. We've seen it all over the place, you know. So, And with these cameras, even the iPhone that was just released has a better, has an insanely cool camera in it, I think. I haven't played with it yet, but from the specs, it looks pretty cool that you're going to have in your back pocket all the time. What does this mean? And is it still viable to consider photography or being a professional photographer as a career choice?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is, you know, I think, you know, over the last several years, there's been lots of, you know, the doom and gloom and the talk of the decline of professional photography, and you know, and with good reason. You know, you cited the newspapers, you know, the stock agency business model being upended, you know, the availability of outstanding cameras, you know, put in the hands of you know, okay business people, creates competition for photographers. I think, you know, especially independent photographers that I know are, you know, constantly worried that, you know, somebody else is waiting outside their client's door who can, you know, deliver the product, you know, equally as good as them, or, you know, or, you know, quicker or faster, et cetera. And I think, so I'm not going to downplay the notion that, that the industry has shifted significantly. We've gone through a period of decline. And it's been very upsetting to watch for the you know, outstanding professional photographers who have lost business over time. That being said, I think, you know, the endangered species, there is no extinction fear. The professional photographer, as a career, will remain very viable for a certain kind of professional photographer. So you know, you can take the best possible camera you can think of, put it in the hands of a really good hobbyist or amateur who can make outstanding images, but that still doesn't make them a professional photographer. And there's things that professionals need to continue doing to differentiate themselves in the eyes of the client.
And so, what are some of those things before we leave that? What are some of those things that they can do?
So being good at estimating jobs. Being available and accessible, the delivery. You know, it's one thing to say I can take a great picture, but the other thing is like my client is waiting on me to deliver this as promised in a highly professional manner so that it meets their needs. And that sounds like basic business, right? Like, you know what the customer wants, and you add your value and you deliver it to them. But I would tell you that in photography or any other business, that's a huge differentiator between an amateur and a professional.
Totally agree.
The ability to be, I said it earlier, rock solid, reliable for your clients. That's how you have the clients keep on coming back for more, not, you know, looking beyond you as their favorite photographer. I brought some stats with me, because I don't like to just kind of make these blanket statements and say
data, you know, we love data,
like photographers have nothing to worry about. But, every year we do, I'm sure you've noticed, we do a lot of research at Photo Shelter. If you go to photoshelter.com, there's a free guides link at the top of our website. We have about 35, free downloadable instructional guides for photography, for professional photographers on all kinds of business topics. Whether that's growing a business, or, you know, learning search engine optimization for photographers, or pricing and negotiating. But every year we do a buyer survey, and we go to advertising and editorial buyers. We go to publishing companies. And we actually partner with Agency Access. I think you're probably familiar with them. They have this huge database of anyone who's buying photography in a professional, you know, professional manner. And we field the survey to them. We do it every year. The 2013 survey is not yet available, but one of the things that we learned from the survey, I'm just looking down at my data here, is 60% of the buyers we surveyed said that they try to hire new photographers. Which is cool. So I think that actually speaks to, you know, not doom and gloom, but rather hope for up and coming photographers who are looking to get hired.
You're looking now, for fresh, right? Fresh and new.
Now, breaking in isn't easy at all. And that'll always be a challenge, but that's always the case in
that's
any
everything.
Industry.
Yeah, it's everything.
You know, so you have to figure out, you know, how you're going to market or how you're going to get an entry point into an organization to sell them your work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the phenomenon will always remain that buyers, whether that be editorial, you know, photo editors, commercial buyers, publishers, they like to work with the photographers they like to work with, right? Because it mitigates the risk for them. If I know that you've delivered professionally for me in the past, there's a much better chance that you're going to deliver professionally for me again in the future.
Right.
So I'm likely to use you rather than some fresh face that,
yeah.
that
yeah,
I have.
What you were saying before about the professionals delivering or, you know, just sort of having that attention to detail. Sort of, I was having a conversation with someone a while back about that very thing, and the analogy that they drew was the hamburger, right? You could be the advanced amateur that knows how to take the photo, and that kind of represents the patty, the hamburger, the meat in the hamburger,
right.
You know, assuming that you're not a vegetarian or anything. But that,
yeah.
represents
you can look at my Instagram feed, you'll see
it's food out there.
Yeah, but slap
the photography itself and being competent at the photography represents the hamburger patty. But the professional makes the hamburger, everything from the top bun all the way down to the bottom bun. And that's the first touch point with the customer, the hand, you know, the meetings with the customer. Everything is branded and professional all the way through to the end bun or the bottom bun, which is the final delivery of the product, which has that fit and finish and white glove treatment.
Exactly.
All that together equals the professional experience, whereas if you're an amateur and you're not, you know, you're not interested in brand building or that sort of thing, you may be just good at one or two of those things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, you know, to loop the conversation back around, and I'd be a lousy marketer if I didn't, but that's why we encourage people to use Photo Shelter to deliver the end product of a shoot to their clients, because it's in that branded professional environment rather than, you know, just dropping off a drive that is totally generic,
right.
And you don't know what's going to happen to the drive, or, you know, a Dropbox that's totally generic and anybody can use Dropbox, but,
yeah.
But the professional, the Photo Shelter website where you have a distinct gallery set up for the client, it's happening in your branded environment. And you, the photographer, have statistics on what they're downloading, and you can follow up with them to know exactly what's been downloaded and you know how it's going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I would say then is so you know, if there's this distinction between professionals and amateurs, then what is the niche of professionals that's going to sustain themselves?
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are truly embracing the shifts in technology to either differentiate themselves on a skill basis or on a client service basis, or on a marketing basis too. You know, and that we could probably spend another hour talking about, you know, how to embrace marketing. But I'll say this, you know, the everyone is a photographer comment now, you know, centers a lot around Instagram and these filters. And I know plenty of professional photographers who have embraced Instagram to build audience, and that's led them to additional jobs. So,
but it's a tool. Instagram, like anything else, is a tool. And I think a trap that a lot of people get stuck in is when you know, I forget who said it, but there was this quote: when the only thing that you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
So get. Instagram is a tool, you know, and as long as you understand what's going on Instagram and you're cognizant of their terms of service and all that, then
yeah.
It's fine to use, but it's not the end all be all, right?
Yeah, and you figure out a way to fashion it to your own, you know, your own business in terms of how you're going to build audience.
Mm-hmm.
The example that I love to use is our friend Brad Manjin, who is a freelance sports photographer based in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He shoots baseball. Often for Major League Baseball and for Sports Illustrated, has developed a massive following on Instagram because of the access that he gets thanks to his you know, I guess I'd call it regular job.
Sure.
His Instagrams have gotten so popular that they've actually been published in Sports Illustrated, and he got a book deal. So he has this great baseball Instagram book that's now on the market.
That's great.
You can find it on Amazon. And then there's plenty of photographers that we know now that are getting hired to Instagram for major publications. Like Landon Nordman is a New York-based photographer here who does a lot of Instagramming for the New Yorker. Ben Lowy is an editorial photographer who does a lot of Instagramming and has gotten gigs based on his audience on Instagram. So
yeah, that's great.
So I think, you know, rather than saying, you know, all doom and gloom, it's a, like, what are the changes that are taking place in the industry and how can I use these changes to my advantage to build audience and sustain my career?
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion.
It's not a demolition of the industry. It's more of an evolution of the skill sets and the delivery mechanisms and vehicles that photographers can use today are evolving, you know?
Right.
You know, in some ways it's just like anything else. Some, as things change and evolve, things fall away and other things show up, you know, on one side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the key, the trick to staying relevant is staying relevant and staying on top of what things are evolving into, not sticking your head in the sand, not being Luddite. You got to be out there. You got to be watching what things are, how things are evolving and how people, your clients and consumers want to consume things. You're right. Okay. So before we close this interview off, can you give me an idea of pricing? Like, what are the different pricing tiers and levels that you guys offer?
Yeah, sure. So we start with we actually have four different account levels. We have a basic account. The basic account gets you 10 gigs of storage for your photos online, one website template, and then access to all of Photo Shelter's marketing tools, image delivery tools, et cetera.
Gotcha.
Then we have a standard account. Standard account is our most popular account. And that's $29.99 a month or $329 a year.
Okay.
And that gets you access to 10 different of our classic website templates and all of our Beam portfolio website templates, so the new platform. You get 60 gigs of storage and all of our marketing and sales tools. Then we have a pro account, which is $49 a month. $549 a year.
Yeah.
And that's our highest individual photographer account. And with that, you get a terabyte of storage, access to all of our web classic and new Beam templates. When you sell through Photo Shelter, the basic account sales fee is 10% of the sale.
Mm-hmm.
The standard account is 9% and the pro account is 8%.
Excellent.
We also have a multi-user account. And so the difference there is it's intended for organizations. So photo departments, universities use a lot our multi-user account. We have a lot of sports teams using our multi-user account,
mm-hmm.
corporations, even small agencies. And that's designed to manage the work of multiple photographers and have multiple editors accessing the account, multiple clients accessing the account. And so it's a more robust version of the individual photographer account. And that's $3,300 a year.
Cool. And all this stuff is at photoshelter.com, obviously. Any other places where you'd like the listeners to go check out?
So photoshelter.com is key.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/photoshelter. We're on Twitter. We have a very active Twitter and Google+ community. We do, like I mentioned, we do a ton of content. If you never ever come to Photo Shelter and never ever sign up for our service, but if you're an aspiring or you know, professional photographer for years, I would suggest you check out our educational content. We do webinars every month. Some are based on our own product, and we always have guest webinars every month too. So you'll find that on our website. If you go to photoshelter.com/free guides, you'll find all of our downloadable guides, and they're not these crappy, you know, 10 pagers. We actually research very heavily and release a new one every month. They're 30 to 50 pages of really, really good content. We interview very successful photographers who are, you know, experienced in whatever the topic is that we're talking about. And it's worth checking that stuff out. It's sort of, we like to think of, you know, the tools will get you so far, but if we can provide content around those tools, then we meet our goal of Photo Shelter being the place where we make your photos more useful and valuable.
Wonderful. Andrew, thank you for taking the time out on this, what is it, Friday, to chat with me. I'm sure you have things to do, but you're sitting here chatting with us on This Week in Photo, explaining all this cool stuff to us, so I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure. It's really good to catch up, Frederick.
All right. Well, cool. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.